Good evening. Thank you, Todd. He hesitated a little bit there. I thought maybe I got up a little too early. He might be introduced somebody else, and I'll be sitting back down. So it actually happened to me in the Lord's Supper this morning. I got ready to stand up, and somebody beat me to it. Got ready to stand up again. Somebody beat me to it. People behind me were giggling by this time. Third time the Lord let me get up, so. But tonight, nobody else beat me to it. So you could have. Some of you up near the front, you could have been down here quicker than me. But good to be with you tonight and to have the blessing of looking into the Word of God together. Most of you came for the ice cream. Maybe. Nah, you didn't. You didn't come for the ice cream because you're the same people you'd be here on a regular Sunday night. But you know, some folks did this. They put some salt, and then they let it run, and that's what's coming right there. So that's coming later, you see. That's your prize for hanging around and being here. Last month, when I spoke on a Sunday night, it so happened that it was the night of the Watermelon Fellowship. And if you remember correctly, I spoke on remembering watermelon. The only verse in the whole Bible that talks about melons. The people of Israel, remembering the melons, among other things, back in Egypt. So tonight, you're thinking I'm going to preach on ice cream, right? Nah, it talks about ice in the Bible. It talks about cream, but it didn't talk about ice cream. So you're safe. No message on ice cream tonight. So actually, what we're going to be doing tonight, we're going to be doing a vision check. Some of you are thinking, man, I left my glasses in the car. If I'd have known he was going to do a vision check, I would have brought him in. But you'll be okay without that. But most of you remember that back in mid-February, the elders presented a vision for our assembly. A look to the future with stated aims and objectives. I would suggest to say that in reality, what we presented was what has been basically the vision of this assembly since the beginning. But we verbalized it, and we're seeking to focus on it. Now, it's a little over 6 months later. I think last Sunday would have technically been 6 months since we shared that together. So I thought it would be a good opportunity tonight, just in case there were any extra people here, because we're having ice cream, might be a good time to pause for a checkup. And so we're going to have a vision check tonight. We're going to just pause for a few moments and we're going to reflect on where do we stand with our vision. How are we doing in pursuing our stated aims and objectives? Now, some of you say, who cares? We're eating ice cream tonight, but it's important. So we're going to be looking together at this. As we think about a vision check, and I'm going to use the parallel of going to get your physical vision checked. Our daughter-in-law, Ashley, Jordan's wife, she worked for a time at an optometrist office. She was an assistant there. I'm not sure exactly what they call that person who does that, but that's the job that she did. And so I called yesterday and talked to Jordan and Ashley down in Raleigh and got a little background on what you do when you go to the optometrist office. I have not been that frequently, even though I have been, and I need to go more frequently. But I picked up, I think, some good parallels to our assembly pausing for a six-month vision check. And we're going to do that by reflecting together on three aspects of a vision check. Okay? So the first one, as you go into the eye doctor, and most of you, how many of you have ever been to the eye doctor? Maybe I should ask that question. How many ever been? Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, how many of the people who have not been to an eye doctor have ever had a vision test at least? Raise your hand if you've ever had a vision test in a doctor's office, somewhere else. There should be everybody's hand that was up, should be back up. Okay, because I know if you went, you had your vision check. Okay. So most people have had some type of eye check, and you know that when you get your vision checked, there is some standard outside of yourself. Okay, here you have a piece of equipment. I'm trying to remember what this thing was called. This, I believe, was the auto refractor. Some of you have put your head up to that. Now, this looks like something off a science fiction movie, but it's not. This is the phoropter that's used, and many of you probably, if you've gotten fitted for eyeglasses or contact lenses, you've done that as well. And I know you've seen this. Even back in the good old days, this is what we used. The old eye chart, trying to read those letters at from a different distance. Here's the eye doctor, the optometrist. He's checking the vision of this patient. Now, here's the old-timey way. It was funny, when Josh and Danielle lived over in China, they had to go for something to get a vision check. I think the government required it. So they went, and they said, well, they had to get a physical exam, but part of it was an eye exam. And when they did it, they had to hold up, literally a wooden spoon out of the kitchen was what they put over their eye. This guy's thing kind of reminded me, but his is more professional, but just holding up a wooden spoon. But that still does the trick, because what we're looking for is an objective standard outside of ourselves. And that's what the eye chart provides. That's what these different pieces of equipment provide. Something outside of ourselves by which our vision can be checked. You know, Ashley mentioned to me that one of the other things that they would check when you go in for a full vision check is they use the frequency doubling test. And that's to check your peripheral vision. And so when you see some type of light moving in front of you as you look into one of these pieces of equipment, you would push a button as soon as you see that. And she said the reason they do that is because sometimes patients have problems that they're not aware of. I thought, wow, how fitting is that? Sometimes we have issues, problems with our vision that we don't even realize. We didn't catch it. We haven't noticed that we've been having a problem. So the examination of our vision requires an objective standard. And the examination of our vision as a local assembly, looking into the future and seeking to move towards stated aims and objectives, that also requires an objective standard. And praise God, we have not only an objective standard, we have an objective absolute standard, the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to turn there in the Word of God to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking together. First, we're going to read the first 16 verses together, and we'll be focusing on verse 12. That's where we have drawn our vision from. But we want to read the whole passage in context, because we're going to draw some thoughts out of the context as well. As we think about this objective standard and the necessity, if we're going to check our vision, we've got to have an objective standard. We have that in the Word of God. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, Paul writing, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. verse 12 again, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. As we seek a vision, as we seek what it is that God is specifically directing us to do, how important it is that we know that that vision is from the Lord. The word vision is used throughout the Old and New Testament. Normally that vision speaks of a specific revelation, or in sometimes that revelation comes through what we might think of as a vision, as Peter saw a vision or Paul saw a vision. Some of the Old Testament prophets were given visions. They were able to see what it was that God had for them, and often, usually, what God had for them to share with others. Back in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23 and verse 16, I just want to read this verse for you. It's in the context of false prophets and God's warning against false prophets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, these specific false prophets. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. And it can be that people can have a vision for the future, even for a local church. And it may not be a false prophecy. It may not be a false vision. It may not be from their own heart. But maybe it's not from the mouth of the Lord. And I'm thankful that the elders here in this assembly prayerfully selected a vision that we can say is from the mouth of the Lord. Is from Scripture. A vision from the Lord. Verse 12, that's where we draw our vision. The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You may remember when you think about the vision, we talked about equipped saints. We're going to look at these quickly. Energized service. Saints that are equipped for energized service, that the body might be edified. And then to this we added, in one sense we added, it's not in the verse, but it's definitely in the Scripture and in this book, the book of Ephesians, the exalted Savior. You see, the exalted Savior is the ultimate overarching goal, the aim of this local church. Our desire is that He would be lifted up, He would be praised, He would be seen, He would be honored, He would be worshipped, He would be acknowledged as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the head of the church. So our desire is that we would equip the saints, and that the equipped saints would be energetically serving the Lord, so that, according to our verse, verse 12, that the body of Christ would be built up, would be edified, and therefore, by doing that, the head, our Savior, would be glorified. That's our desire. And we could really kind of summarize this under the little four-word phrase, equipping saints to serve. Again, the overarching goal being the Lord Jesus exalted. He is exalted as His body is built up, as His body grows, is edified. And that is going to happen, we find, as equipped saints do the work of the ministry. We know there are a variety of ministries. When we looked at spiritual gifts in connection with this, 1 Corinthians 12, we read there in verse 5 that there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Just as the same Spirit gives a diversity of gifts, and the same God works out the results of those gifts working through ministry, so the Lord Jesus Himself is the one who is over those variety of ministries. You know, the context of this that we find here in our passage is really the background, the context of the unity of the believers. The context, obviously, is the book of Ephesians. And you're familiar with the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 through 3. We find the church revealed, a mystery in the Old Testament, that God would bring Jew and Gentile together And that they would be together in His Son, the Lord Jesus, those who trust His Son as Savior, His crucified, buried, risen, ascended Son. All those who receive the Lord Jesus are brought together into the body of Christ. And that is brought out by Paul here in chapters 1 through 3. And in chapter 4, we see that we have a shift slightly from the doctrinal into the practical, applying the doctrine from chapters 1 through 3. And he makes it very practical in the verses we have read as he transitions in from this revelation of the church, the body of Christ, into living that out in daily life. We find that it's in the context of the unity of believers. Notice in verses 1 through 11, we're not going to go closely through them tonight for sake of time, but I just wanted to mention, if you notice in verses 1 through 11, we're challenged in verse 3 to guard our unity. Now we know that there's a positional unity that cannot be touched by Satan, by man, by the world. But we know that that positional unity, how God sees us as one in Christ, that needs to be lived out in a practical way every day. That can be negatively impacted by the devil, by man, by the world system in which we live. And it's God's desire, as he brings that through Paul in this passage, that we guard that unity. That we guard it with a lifestyle that is characterized, though, there in those first few verses, that's characterized by humility, lowliness, and gentleness. As we seek to live out the oneness of the body of Christ, we're called to live lives that should be characterized through the power of the Spirit of God. It should be characterized by humility, by an attitude of putting others ahead of ourselves. As we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, trusting Him to lift us up in His time, we seek to show preference to others with humility. We find also that patience is involved, what is called long-suffering. Suffering long with others and bearing with others. As we seek to work toward our vision, it's in the context of living a life as a humble, patient, and peaceful believer in the Lord Jesus. That's God's desire for us, for we're striving, interesting wording there, we're striving, endeavoring to keep or guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, a oneness among believers, working together, moving along the same path, though very many different ministries, gifts given by the Spirit of God, working through a variety of ministries, but all working toward that same goal of exalting the Lord Jesus, exalting our Savior. We find here that he speaks of equippers there in verse 11. In verses 7 through 11, we find the Lord Jesus there where he is ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high, the right hand of the Father. That priority place, that prized position, that's where the Lord Jesus is. And from there we see that he has given gifts. Grace, verse 7, to each of us, each one of us. So we have those individual gifts that we read of in Romans 12 and we read of in 1 Corinthians 12 and are spoken of in 1 Peter chapter 4. But we also have those gifted individuals given as gifts. Apostles and prophets, if you notice over in chapter 2 in verse 20 of the same letter, Paul says that the church is built on the foundation, has been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Those first century gifts for the early church, as the early church was founded, But now we find the apostles and prophets are, in their primary sense, that's not what we find today among those gifts given to the church, but we do find those who are gifted as evangelists and pastors and teachers, some given to the universal church, some given to the local church, depending on the sphere of ministry to which God has called them, that we might be equipped. So that's all verses 1 through 11 leading up to what we have selected prayerfully as our vision for the local assembly, that we might be equipping the saints for energized service, that the body of Christ might be built up and edified, that the Lord Jesus, the Savior, the head of the body, might be exalted. After verse 12, verses 13 to 16, he carries on this thought. And as we have guarding our unity in verses 1 through 11, we find ourselves growing in our unity in verses 13 through 16. Again, the edification of the body focused on here in verses 13 and 15, we see that maturing. Just like our human bodies grow and develop and mature, so we as a local body, as well as the universal body of all believers, we're to be growing, maturing. I want you to notice in verse 16, three things that he emphasizes here as important. If the saints are going to be equipped, if there's going to be energized service, if we're going to be building up the body of Christ, if the body's going to be building itself up, then so that Christ might be exalted, notice three things that are very important there in verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by what it, which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In love. You see, along with that humility, along with that patience, along with that peacefulness, we must have love for the Lord and love for one another. If we are going to truly reach that goal that is at our hearts, love must characterize the local assembly. Love must characterize our relationships. Love must characterize our attitudes. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, lived out by the power of the Holy Spirit as we abide in the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we abide in Him, we dwell in Him, we meditate on Him, we spend time in His Word, we're in prayer with Him without ceasing. As we allow Him to live His life out through us, His love is going to be seen. And we're going to reach out to others that we don't really care for, but we love them because they're a part of the body of Christ. There's got to be love. There also, you notice there, needs to be connection. The whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. The joints, those places where the bones come together, where they meet, where there's a connection. And that's the desire of the Spirit of God, that our lives not only be positionally connected, which they are, praise God, we can't have that changed in any negative way, but what about in a practical way? Are our lives connected? Are our lives joined? Is the closest that we get is the people that we sit near on a pew in the meeting? Is that the closest that our lives get? Or do we truly connect in our lives? Do we truly live out the connection that God has given to us? One other thing I want to mention quickly here before we move on, and that's the idea of participation. As we continue to read through that verse, talking about what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, the New King James says. By which every part does its share. Every part of the body doing its part in the body. Every part of the body doing its part in the body. Its share. Pulling our own weight by the power of the Spirit of God. A shared workload. Distributed labor amongst the whole body. Each of us doing different things, having different gifts, different areas of ministry oftentimes, different people to whom we're connected outside of this local assembly, within the local assembly, closer to some than the others, but all participating. And as we serve together in love and in humility and in patience and in peace, connected together, all doing our share, the body is built up, building itself up in love, and the head is exalted. The head, the Lord Jesus, is seen reflected in the body. How much is the Lord Jesus seen reflected in our assembly? It's a good question for all of us to ask individually. What about my own life? And what about the life of this assembly? Is the Lord Jesus the head seen? Is His power and His wisdom seen as the body develops? You know, we're amazed at our own human bodies and how they grow and how the different parts of the body are working together under the amazing way that God has knit us together in our mother's wombs and has brought us into this world and has given us bodies that grow. Sometimes they grow too much as a result of eating too much ice cream, right? That's not what we're talking about so much right now. But growing up into the head, who is Christ. And that is holding our vision up against an objective standard, the Word of God. Well, let's move on. Time is moving on, so we need to move on too. Here's the second aspect we want to consider together. Again, going into the optometrist office and seeing that there's an eye chart on the wall, maybe projected these days by some type of projector, gauged for the right number of feet. Or maybe we're behind one of those pieces of equipment that we can't hardly pronounce the word, but we know that it's an objective standard. Well, something else that happens when you go into the optometrist office, while you're sitting there, either the optometrist or his or her assistant is probably going to ask you some questions. Have you noticed any difference in your vision since your last visit? Are you properly using those eye drops that we prescribed on the last visit? And then maybe behind one of those machines, which is clearer, this one or this one? They're asking you diagnostic questions, trying to diagnose your vision based on your feedback so that they know and that you know what the situation is. I want to just ask quickly a series of questions regarding our vision here at the chapel to equip saints to serve. And let me pause just for a moment here, and maybe I should wait and get to it later, but I just want to emphasize, as we think about that equipping of the saints, it's not that the saints can just be equipped, but that we can energetically serve, that we can all be involved, both within the assembly, but also outside of the local assembly, as a part of the universal church. And also as we move through the community, and even as we're able to have an impact around the world, that we are serving energetically as a local assembly. Well, let's just ask a few questions here. I was going to pass out paper and let you make some notes for yourself, but probably if you're a note taker, you already have paper. And if not, your mind is so sharp, you won't ever forget any of these anyway. So I'm just going to go through and mention them very quickly. First of all, a very simple question. Do you know the vision of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel? Some of you, it's the first time you've ever heard it, but you still probably know it now. Now, whether you could quote verse 12, and I would encourage you to put to memory Ephesians 4:12, a good memory verse for this week. If you don't already know the verse, how many of you young people are going to memorize that verse this week? Raise your hand. If you're a young person, you're going to memorize that verse this week. Trying to see who thinks they're young and who. Okay. All right, we got a few commitments. There we go. We got a few more back there. Praise the Lord. I won't ask how many of the older ones because I know you're going to do it. I don't even have to ask you to put you on the spot. Exalting Christ, add that to the beginning of it. Add that to the beginning of everything. Exalting Christ through the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. As we saw in verse 16, the building up of the body of Christ exalts the head, Christ. As the body grows in a variety of ways through new conversions, the body obviously is growing. There are more believers in the body of Christ, and Christ is exalted as one come to know the Lord Jesus, his Savior. They're born again. The body of Christ grows and exalts the head as the body grows through maturing believers. So as you mature in Christ, then the body is growing. We might not be able to visibly see it. Maybe we can. But the body is growing. You can't always see your own body growing, but it is. And Christ is exalted. And as the growing body more effectively worships and witnesses and works and watches for the return of the Lord Jesus, Christ is exalted. And as the saints individually serve by the energizing power of the Holy Spirit, the body is edified. Equipping saints to serve. I'm going to ask you, you have to wake up to do this, but we're going to say this together several times, okay? If you've raised children, you've probably done this anyway, if they've had anything like with the multiplication tables. I was with a couple of kids from Smith Homes, a housing project recently, and one of the things I started talking to them about was their math, and we got to working on multiplication tables. And they thought that was kind of funny. I just kept making them say it over and over. 2 times 4 is 8. 2 times 4 is 8. 2 times 4 is 8. What's 2 times 4? 8. What's 2 times 4? 8. What's 4 times 2? 8. By the end of the time, one of them knew that 2 times 4 was 8. The other one, I'm not sure. But one of them did. All right. So we're going to try it together. Equipping saints to serve. Here we go. Equipping saints to serve. Again, equipping saints to serve. You can do it again. Equipping saints to serve. Close your eyes. Equipping saints to serve. I'm impressed. We did that at Bible school and they learned the books of the Bible. Very good. Equipping saints to serve. The need for repetition. The need for repetition. That's going to bring us to our next question. Have you thought, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, but I would be curious. How many people here have thought about the stated vision of this assembly apart from hearing it mentioned in a sermon? Again, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you just ask yourself that question. Have you thought about it? Has it come into your mind? Have you reflected on it? Is it something that you actively think about? Number three, this is personal. Do you share the vision that the elders have presented for Shannon Hills Bible Chapel? Do you share this vision of equipping saints to serve, that the believers might be equipped to serve within the functioning of the local assembly and without, in order that the body of Christ might be built up so that Christ might be exalted? Do you share that? If you don't, I want to ask you, is there a scriptural reason? And if there is, then I would encourage you to see one of the elders and share that reason with us. If you do share the vision, do you have a sense of responsibility to see the vision accomplished? Do you say, well, that's somebody else's responsibility. That's the elder's responsibility, the deacon's responsibility. That's for the Sunday school teachers to equip those kids to be equipped. Do you have a sense of responsibility that that vision be accomplished? Let me ask you another question. Are you satisfied without a vision? I don't say that in a critical way. I just ask, but let me ask you a few things just to reflect on in your mind. Are you satisfied with just attending the meetings? Are you content with just checking off your list that I did these spiritual duties? Are you satisfied with just salving your conscience, whatever it takes to do that? Are you content with just maintaining the status quo? Are you happy with just surviving as an individual and as an assembly? Are you satisfied with as long as you're enjoying yourself, then everything's okay? A few diagnostic questions. Another one, are you excited about this local church? Not that you think this local church is perfect. If you do, you're definitely not involved enough in this local assembly. If you hadn't figured out yet that we're not perfect, there's always room for improvement, obviously. But, you know, I'm encouraged. I'm excited. I'm enthused because I see God working. The elders have been praying specifically that the Lord would bring new families into this assembly, and God is answering that prayer. We are seeing believers being welcomed in the fellowship. We are seeing new spiritual births. We are seeing increased hospitality, as we emphasize that as a theme this year. We are experiencing a greater and deeper level of corporate prayer at our prayer meetings on Wednesday night. God is working. And I want to encourage you to be excited about what God is doing. Well, let me ask you this. In what area or areas do you see yourself in need of being better equipped to serve? I have a couple of verses here I'm gonna run through with you. We touched on these the last time, but I want to just ask you to turn quickly to these verses. Well, no, I'm not either, because we'll run out of time if I do that. Let me just read them for you. Here's a couple areas. The word that's translated equipping in the New King James here, or perfecting in the King James, is it's the only time you find that specific word in the Greek in the New Testament. But the word from which it is derived, you find it 13 times. And so as you look at that very closely related word, you can draw some applications for our own equipping. So here's a question that I'm going to draw out of Hebrews 10, verse 5, where it speaks about the body of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, when He, the Lord Jesus, came into the world, He said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for Me." As I think about that use of the word here, I think about folks who think, you know, I have a sense that God has designated me to serve Him. I sense that He wants me to serve Him, and I even have a sense of where that is, but I feel like I'm unprepared to take on the task. Well, if that's where you are, this assembly has a vision to help you be prepared. It's not just something you drink real quickly and you're prepared. It may be a slow, laborious process. But we need you to be energetically serving so that the body can be built up, so that the Savior may be exalted. Here's another one. It comes from Matthew 4 and verse 21, where the Lord Jesus sees James and his brother John. They're in the boat with their father Zebedee. And we read there that they are mending their nets when He called them. And that word mending is a translation of the Greek word from which equipping is derived. So maybe as we make an application here, maybe tonight you sit here and see yourself as damaged in service, and therefore you're in need of mending. You've been out serving the Lord, but you know what? Is taking His toil, and you're beginning to feel burned out, or maybe you're hurt by a lack of appreciation or fruit. Maybe that abundance of rejoicing has been replaced by an abundance of rejection, and you're frustrated. Well, if that's you, can I encourage you that we have a vision in this assembly to be involved in the mending process to get you back in the waters of service? As James and John were mending those nets to get them back into service. Thirdly, Galatians 6:1, we have the word translated as restore. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore or equip, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Maybe here tonight and you say, you know what? I have been disqualified for service. Or maybe for certain aspects of service by choices I have made. And therefore, I am in need of restoring. Maybe you have a sense of unworthiness because you know your own heart and your own mind. and you feel disqualified. But we have a vision to come alongside you and restore you to a place of appropriate usefulness. And finally, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul spoke of his missionary team as night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. That word perfect is the same word from which equip is derived. So maybe you're feeling deficient for service, so that you need completing. Maybe you're anxious to serve, but you're realizing that in all honesty, there are some areas where you are deficient, and you know that you won't be able to effectively minister. Well, we have a vision here in this assembly to assist you in filling in the gaps where the gaps are hindering your service for the Lord. Do you need equipping? Let's hurry on. Let me ask you these questions rapid fire. Do you see that what we do as an assembly is equipping you to serve? That the meetings that we have and the way that we seek to format those meetings, the ministry that comes out, the Bible studies that we have, the mentoring process that hopefully is going on, the hospitality, the fellowship, the times of prayer. Do you see those things as being effective in equipping you? And if not, if your answer is no, I want to encourage you to share that with one of the elders, that we might know, because we want to be equipping appropriately. Let me ask you this question. In what way or ways do you feel that God has equipped or gifted you to help equip others? God can use you in helping someone else to be amended, to be prepared, to be restored, to be completed. How has God empowered and equipped you to equip others? Let me ask you this. In what ministries are you presently serving the Lord? Can you think of what God has you doing now within the assembly, outside of the assembly? How are you serving? What about this, the next step? In what area or areas are you burdened to any degree to get involved or to get more involved in serving the Lord? Is God putting something on your heart? Is there an area of service that you are sensing that God is nudging you toward? That you are recognizing a need? That you've been thinking about? Maybe you've even been praying about it? A good question to consider. Let me ask you this, in the service that you are rendering for the Lord, as we think of energetically serving, do you sense that your service is being energized by the Holy Spirit, or is it being done in the strength of the flesh? If it's being done in the strength of the flesh, we want to encourage you to be back in the Word and back before the Lord in prayer and getting accountability with other believers and getting encouragement and having others pray for you, that we all might be energized by the Spirit of God. Well, finally, last question I'll ask under these diagnostic questions. Do you see opportunities to energetically serve? Do you see the opportunities here in the assembly or maybe in the community? Do you see opportunities in the community and even in beyond the community in our world that are being provided by the chapel or encouraged by the chapel? Are there opportunities that you could share with us that we could encourage the believers to be involved in? Well, it's time for ice cream. So I'm just going to slap this up here real quickly. The benefit of a vision prescription. Here's some real quick notes I'm just going to drop on you. Calculate the value of our vision. Spend some time on that. These all start with C, because you want to be able to see the future. That's a terrible, corny joke, and my poor daughter had to be here to hear that tonight, but that'll help you remember it. Confess. Maybe you need to confess and repent of complacency, or self-centeredness, or short-sightedness, or unbelief, or unforgiveness and bitterness. Maybe you're holding a grudge. Is holding up the growth of the body. Maybe you need to confess and repent of a critical or complaining or competitive spirit. Maybe you need to confess and repent of arrogance. Then I want to encourage you to choose to trust the Lord and the elders He raises up. Cultivate your gifts and ministries. Connect more intimately with the Lord grow in Him and with His people on a more intimate and consistent level. Strengthen the joints. I take glucosamine with chondroitin and MSM. They're all to help the joints. Strengthen the joints where we meet together, where our lives connect. And finally, commit to stay the course. I want to encourage you for this vision, equipping saints to serve. We're 3 minutes late for ice cream. I apologize. I'll pray quickly. Thank you for your attention. Lord, we thank you for our assembly. We thank you for the saints that are in fellowship here. We thank you, Lord, for the vision that you have given us to equip one another. Lord, that we might truly, in an energetic, spirit-empowered way, serve you in a way that the body of Christ will be built up so that your Son will be exalted. Lord, that is our heart. Father, bless us as we reflect on these questions. Father, help us to take them to heart and to grow together. Thank you for the ice cream that you provided. Bless our fellowship. Might it be a sweet time around the Lord Jesus. And we pray in His name. Amen. Amen. Sweet time of fellowship. That was not a pun, but enjoy.